Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
So glad you could be with us for this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. This week we've been talking about a video that is found on YouTube.com, a video that I participated in titled "The Gold Plates, Is Joseph Smith's Story Possible?" This video was put together by God Loves Mormons, and you can check out all their other videos as well, godlovesmormons.com. And the principal person behind it was Bradley Campbell. He had talked to me in the summer of 2021 about doing this, and I was glad to do it. And so what we're doing this week is not only explaining what I have in the video, but also we're responding to some of the comments that were posted on YouTube.com regarding some of the things that I had said. And we ended yesterday's show. Eric had mentioned that I got a comment from, a Latter-day Saint woman by the name of Chick Hula Girl. And again, I just want to say that we're using the actual names or handles that are used on YouTube.com merely because we feel if those people wanted to publicly put their name or handle out there on YouTube, they should have no problem with us using it here on Viewpoint on Mormonism. But what did Chick Hula Girl have to say? And it is in response to my comments that show that I do not believe that Joseph Smith had the physical ability to lift the plates, whether they were made of pure gold or whether they were made of tumbaga, doesn't matter to me. But Joseph Smith could not have done what Mormons are led to believe he did regarding getting the plates home from where they were buried in the stone box to the hollow log to eventually the Smith home 3 miles away.
She wrote, "Yep, it's possible when you're a prophet of God."
Eric, how many times have we heard Latter-day Saints use an argument like this when it comes to anything Joseph Smith was involved in? We've had Latter-day Saints use the prophet of God argument when it comes to Joseph Smith betting 14-year-olds. We've heard them use that argument that it's okay to lie, I guess, to his wife Emma about all the plural wives that he had. Just because you're a prophet of God, that does not give you supernatural abilities. Am I to assume that 97-year-old Russell M. Nelson, the 17th president of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, has the physical ability to, let's say, lift more weight in a bench press than I can? Well, would supernatural strength be involved for a case like that? Just because he's a prophet? Of course not. Now, you might say, yeah, but this is much more important than merely a test of strength between two individuals. These are gold plates we're talking about that are eventually going to become the Book of Mormon. My argument is still the same. You just can't say that Joseph Smith, because he was a prophet, was able to do that. Actually, prophets in the Bible were held to a much higher standard. Look at Moses himself. He hits a rock. And because he hits a rock, in order to get water to come forth out of the rock, which I admit was a miracle, he's not allowed to go into the Promised Land. He was held to a much higher standard when you consider that he was leading a group of grumbling, murmuring people that had been behaving so badly. It took them 40 years that probably could have been traversed under normal circumstances in probably just a few weeks. But after Chick Hula Girl makes the "when you're a prophet of God" argument, you have Lasers28 respond to her. What does he say?
"So God preserved these plates for hundreds of years, gave Joseph supernatural powers to bring them home, only to have Joseph not use them to create the Book of Mormon. Why would God need the plates if Joseph was just going to use his treasure hunting rock to dictate the text?"
I think that's a great question. And Chick Hula Girl actually responds to that when she says that as for the physical gold plates, there needed to be evidence for witnesses to testify they saw it with their own eyes. So even though God puts Joseph Smith in such a perilous position of carrying these gold plates home, being attacked 3 times, 2 of which were armed men, he puts him through this situation and then never really needs him to use the plates in the first place. Now, Chick Hula Girl thinks that they were necessary, as she says, to be evidence for witnesses to testify they saw it with their own eyes. And this is an argument that I've heard many times as well. Well, forget about the weight, Bill. What about the fact that you had three witnesses say that they saw the plates, and then later on you had eight witnesses that said they saw the plates? I know that's in their testimony, but did they really see them? And I bring this up in the video. Did they see gold plates like an individual can see my plates? And I would argue that they could not have. And this is why. When you read the account of when the three witnesses saw the plates, they had to pray in order to see the plates. I don't ask Latter-day Saints to pray to see my plates. Why? Because it's unnecessary. My plates are real. Even though they're not made of gold, they are real. But not only were they supposed to pray to see the plates, we also learn from the first volume of History of the Church that the way they saw the plates is also questionable, because we know that according to the story that you have Martin Harris, David Whitmer, Oliver Cowdery, and Joseph Smith go to the woods to see the plates. I raise the question, why would they have to go to the woods if Joseph Smith was translating the plates in the home nearby? Why leave the home? Just come on into the house and look at the plates. This is where I've been doing the translating. But no, Joseph Smith says, we've got to go out into the woods. When they go to see the plates, nothing happens. Nothing happens. They pray and nothing happens. So Martin Harris has to leave. He feels he's the reason why they can't see the plates. So he leaves, he excuses himself, and he goes a considerable distance away. And then they prayed again, and then they were able to see the plates. It says that, behold, an angel stood before us. In his hands he held the plates, which we had been praying for these to have a view of. But then Joseph Smith goes to find Martin Harris. And this is what it says on volume 1, page 55 of the History of the Church.
I now left David and Oliver and went in pursuit of Martin Harris, whom I found at a considerable distance, fervently engaged in prayer. He soon told me, however, that he had not yet prevailed with the Lord, and earnestly requested me to join him in prayer, that he also might realize the same blessings which we had just received. We accordingly joined in prayer and ultimately obtained our desires, for before we had yet finished, the same vision was open to our view. At least it was again open to me.
Notice, vision. A vision was open to their view. We don't read anywhere that they saw tangible plates. What we do read is that they saw the plates in a vision. Even when it comes to the testimony of the eight witnesses, Mormon historians, particularly Marvin Hill, he's one that I like to go to because he has talked about this. He even admits there's a lot of contradiction and controversy over how the witnesses actually saw, quote unquote, the plates. Remember, Joseph Smith is dealing with men who believe that they can see with a spiritual eye. They really believe they are seeing something, but they're not seeing it as people would see my sheet metal plates. So even though they might say we saw the plates, or even that we hefted the plates, are we really to take that quite literally? Because even when it comes to hefting the plates, we know that when they hefted the plates, they were always covered up or even in a box. How do they know what's underneath the cloth? How do they know what's in the box? They only know what Joseph Smith told them. And if Joseph Smith can lie to his wife about plural wives he had married, but yet tell his wife he had none, I cannot imagine why Joseph Smith couldn't also lie about this. But then we have another statement that was written by Mark DeWald. Mark DeWald had written before. He's a police officer, I understand, from what he's written, and he talked about how difficult it is to drag a 200-pound man, which is a part of SWAT training. Well, anyway, he responds again, and he says, if you apply logic to any biblical story, it will fall apart.
The issue with the Joseph Smith story versus a biblical story is time. Let me expand. Mankind as a whole has only been able to read and write for the past 200 years. Prior to that, all biblical learning was passed down through parable. So it's a little easier to understand that most biblical miracles likely did not occur in the way they were written. In fact, most Old Testament characters likely were an amalgamation of multiple people and stories passed down for many generations until someone compiled them.
Well, let's look at what Mark has to say here. First of all, he says, mankind as a whole has only been able to read and write for the past 200 years. I'm going to assume that's a typo on his part. I'm going to assume that maybe he meant to say 2,000 years, but it's certainly not 200 years. It's easy to show that mankind was able to read and write for at least 200 years. I mean, good grief, our Constitution is older than that. But let's assume he meant 2,000. Well, even 2,000, there's evidence to show that mankind was reading and writing even before then. You have the Sumerians, for instance. You look at some of the cuneiform writings that still exist to this day. They can easily be dated back to around 3,500 BC. But then when he says, prior to that, all biblical learning was passed down through parable. Now, I think here he also uses the wrong word. This may have been a typo, or maybe he just has the wrong word in mind. I would say he's probably saying orally or verbally. And we would agree that when you look especially at some of the stories in Genesis, a lot of those stories were certainly handed down orally. But when he says, in fact, most Old Testament characters likely were an amalgamation of multiple people and stories passed down for many generations until someone compiled them. See, this is where I think biblical scholars would definitely disagree. In fact, most Old Testament characters, now you're talking about post-Genesis, let's say Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, on, the fact that there was easily writing at that time, and we know that this was probably being written down around the time it was happening during the life of Moses, for instance. Certainly, we would believe that we have a decent record of what's going on here. So I think when he uses Old Testament, he probably meant Genesis, perhaps early Genesis, I would say. But still, I don't know if this argument would be a good one. He says most LDS and biblical scholars will agree with this, and not the way he has it written. They wouldn't. So citing a biblical miracle as a critical source to support Joseph's miraculous strength, which he never claimed, is in fact a bad example to support your argument. I think it's a bad example to support the argument, mainly because Joseph Smith never uses that argument. Mormon apologists never use that argument. I've never heard an LDS leader use an argument regarding supernatural strength. So because of that, I think that using the supernatural strength argument needs to be rejected.
I think it was a great video, Bill. You did a great job. How does a person see this video again?
They would go to YouTube and type in the search box, "The Gold Plates, Is Joseph Smith's Story Possible?" Or you can find it at godlovesmormons.com.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Pastor, could your congregation benefit from a presentation that explains the differences between Mormonism and New Testament Christianity? MRM's Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson would be honored to come to your church. Whether it's a single crash course or a weekend symposium, hundreds of churches have benefited from their fully documented and easy-to-understand PowerPoint presentations. If you'd like to schedule MRM at your church, simply write us at contact@mrm.org. Again, that's contact@mrm.org.